What's up, guys? Welcome back to Kinda Funny's MCU in Review, where every week leading up to Avengers Infinity War, we're going to review and rank the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The last couple of weeks, we've gotten through Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, and Iron Man 2. And now this episode, we are about to review Thor. I'm Tim Geddes. This is Andy Cortez. That's Kevin Coelho. That's Greg Miller. That's Nick Scarpino.
Hi.
That's a lot of names for you to know. But you're going to know them because we are going to be on every single episode of this show.
Come hell or high water.
So we think. We're going to aim for that because it creates consistency. Guess
it
what
does.
Else is consistent in your life? Constant in your life. You can get the show at
Oxygen.
9 a.m. every Tuesday. YouTube.com/kindoffunny. Or you can go on podcast services around the globe, including iTunes. And we would really appreciate if you would, you know, review those things, like those things, download those things, subscribe. I don't really know exactly what it is. Depending on the podcast app, it could be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I recommend Pocket Cast. Costs a couple dollars, but it's worth it.
How is it different sound?
A pocket what?
It's real.
Pocket Cast.
My favorite podcast app.
Okay.
A lot of people have been asking, like, oh,
that
how should I listen to Kinda Funny's MCU in Review via a podcast app? I'm like, you should listen to it via Pocket Cast.
I thought it was like when people walk around the streets of San Francisco with a little boom box, you know, and they're like, they got it hanging out of their pocket. It's like,
yeah. Those are Bluetooth speakers.
Okay.
Yeah, why aren't we seeing more people listen to podcasts on this? People listen to music a lot on that and be really annoying on the bus, but I don't see them listening to podcasts on it.
Cool, Greg.
Be something. Yeah.
I always want to offer them headphones.
Yeah.
I kind of want to make a video of like, here, man.
You know, they're going to take out headphones. A dirty syringe, stab you with it.
So going into the show, there has been two catchphrases that I've really enjoyed. One, of course, is
Ragu Bagu.
Tony.
Say it.
It is that
Tony.
I want my bird.
Yes, I want my bird.
I
thought you were saying have a marvelous day.
Well, yeah. That's the end. That's like
that's just the outro.
That's so good.
We're talking about Thor today.
Thor. Hey, I'm gonna live forever.
Mega
Four.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the second half of Phase One. Of
whoa!
Time flies.
Six movies in Phase One. This is, you know, that lucky number four.
Right.
AKA the first half.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're doing there.
The second half.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's a beautiful time. What a time to be alive. It was released on May 11th, 2011.
Never forget, man.
That was, yeah, exactly. That's what they say.
5/11.
So, pretty much exactly a year.
Is that a 9/11 check?
After Iron Man 2, okay?
Yeah,
we're talking 1 year. Captain America would soon follow it 2 months later.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay.
Yeah, so that was a real tight turnaround.
They really didn't have their rollout plan on those yet, like hammered down just yet.
I feel at that point that was, right?
No, but yeah. I feel like now you look at them and aren't they spaced out a little bit better? Aren't we getting two a year? But they're like far
sometimes
away from each other.
Three, and sometimes
getting two this year, or is it three? Are we
getting Black
Ant-Man?
Panther and Infinity War?
No, this year we're getting Black Panther, Ant-Man. Avengers, and Ant-Man.
God, that's
so three.
And the Wasp.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get to Ant-Man.
You see, as of recording, they put out a screenshot of him today.
It's underrated as fuck.
It's a photo. They call it a photo in real life.
Widely perceived as great.
I guess I'm only thinking of Gus Cirola's opinion. He didn't like him.
He's an idiot.
Gus doesn't like a lot of things. Yeah.
This movie was directed by Kenneth Branagh. Now, Nick, you were dropping some facts about this guy.
Fucking knowledge.
Why does it make sense that he would? Well,
Kenneth Branagh
comes
from the school of, like, more Shakespearean background. He's done Hamlet a bunch of times. He's very much a play actor. He was in a Hamlet. He made a Hamlet movie that I believe he also directed, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, famously, he just did Murder on the Orient Express, which is a period piece. He's in that. He plays Detective Poirot. As well as having directed that. So he's a very capable actor and director, but I think it was an interesting, looking back on it, I was like, interesting choice for a action film. Not like kind of weird, right? Because he hasn't done action before. But then I start thinking about it. I was like, well, when you see Asgard, when you see that is the sort
they
of
all
like.
They all talk like
assholes. They all talk like Shakespearean actors. It kind of makes sense that he would kind of come in to work with those people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I buy it, man. Makes a lot of sense. This movie had a budget of $150 million now for reference here, because I know you guys love that reference.
Thank you.
Iron Man 1
$140,000.
Had $140 million. So, yeah, it was more than Iron Man 1, but less than Iron Man 2's $200 million.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
They built a city for it.
When you look at... Did they build the city for it?
I think so.
That New Mexico City?
Yeah.
The box office return was $449.3 million.
God, we were desperate.
Again, for reference, Iron Man 585 and Iron Man 2 at 623. So, Thor, making that much, pretty big deal.
I was going to say, not that bad for Thor.
For Thor, because remember, going into this, were any of us excited for Thor?
No. My touchstone for Thor prior to this was Vincent D'Onofrio from Adventures in Babysitting. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the only time I remember seeing Thor.
I was hoping you were
going
to call out the...
When he busted through with his glistening thighs.
The incredible Hulk TV show, like made-for-TV movie where Thor showed up. That was awesome.
The most excited I've been for Thor was the after credits cutscene for Iron Man 2. Like, that's
exactly.
Oh,
that's
the hammer.
At that point, it's like, oh shit, Avengers is real.
And then at the,
then you started seeing trailers for Thor, and you're like, man, I don't really want to see Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to throw the gauntlet down here. So far in the MCU in review, every single time I've seen one of these movies, I was like, about it. And I was then I rewatched it. I'm like, oh my God, I like that a lot
more.
Three
for three?
But then we get to Thor.
Oh, no.
I remember when I first saw Thor, I was going, I was like, I don't give a fuck about this. And I left the movie being like, hey, I kind of care. I didn't really care, but I kind of cared. Watching it now, bottom of my list.
Oh, yeah.
Bottom of the list.
This movie's so forgetful. I watched it last night and cannot remember what Stan Lee's cameo was.
Let me tell you what Stan Lee's cameo was. It was the guy from the pickup truck trying to get the hammer. Now, while we're talking about that, let me throw another couple cameos out there for you. One of the most respected writers of the Thor comics, J. Michael Straczynski, tries to lift the hammer in a cameo. Yet another Thor writer and artist, Walter Simonson, makes a cameo sitting next to Sif during the banquet scene.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, those nice. Okay.
That's all the cameos I got.
I love that Thor introduces us to his wacky band of friends, none of which we can name.
Gimli, fucking.
Yeah, the one guy's like Jackie Chan, Gimli,
and Hercules, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Also, that was like the only Asian character in Asgard.
Yeah.
And he was really Asian.
And then he was called Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sort of
harsh.
Now, something interesting about this movie, though.
Also, they're all dead now, but we'll get there. Not Sif.
This movie's interesting because it's the first time in this universe where they had to build another world. The other ones Earth-based and were much more grounded. This had to introduce magic, had to introduce the idea of what another world could look like and space travel
that
and all
rainbow
that stuff.
Road. Well, that's one of the things that I really liked about this, right? And you're talking about the plot, and I don't really going in. I didn't know shit about Thor, or Asgard, or Norse mythology, or any of these things, right? Because you know, why would I, right? It wasn't really a popular character, that popular character, not that he is now. But the cool thing that I liked that they did with this, and it's the Thor mythology, but I thought they explained it very well, was like, hey, to earlier civilizations on Earth, these were gods. And they play with that theme of like, well, this is all – Stellan Skarsgård goes, this is magic. This is kid stuff we're talking about. And Natalie Portman goes, isn't magic sometimes just science that people don't understand? Like, can't that be what this is? And
so
that's what it was.
Cool. I love that. And those opening scenes where you see them, like the Vikings, it's like they believe all this stuff because they saw it and because they truly –
Because they were
they
gods
it,
with
that,
thunder.
That it's real.
Thunder.
A cool thing there is the Norwegian village that you see in the flashback in Thor early in the movie is the same village seen in the beginning of Captain America, the First Avenger.
Oh, wow.
Stay tuned next week to see that one. But that's pretty cool. But yeah, that to the movie's credit, I think that it did a really good job of setting up how Asgard works with Earth and how that whole relationship is and why people do know about Thor and all that. And I think they did do a good job of creating this other world, and I think they did that via the use of color a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like the throne room is one of the most beautiful things in the MCU seen, and I love all of their outfits and stuff of like how the color kind of dictates who they are. With Thor and Loki next to each other, the red and silver versus the green and gold, it's just such a cool like dichotomy next to each other. And I was like, man, there's a lot about this movie I like. And then there's a lot of Dutch angles that don't need to be there.
Yeah, the action itself in the movie. A Dutch angle is when the frame is canted to the left or right. And there's a lot more. Tim and I were noting this morning on the morning show. He was like, I thought there was only a few shots of it.
There's very liberal use
of the camera going in and out of Dutch angle. And it's a little off-putting, especially when... For whatever reason, I do know the reason now watching it a second time. Originally, I was like, the climax of the film, which is the Loki shot, right? I always remembered it as being the fight with him and the Destroyer, which was in broad daylight in the middle of this fake town that they made.
Also, his hammer comes out of nowhere. Like, he dies, and then his hammer just decides, oh, no, I got to go back to him.
Now, let's replay the Anthony Hopkins scene again.
It was a Maybe how
didn't make any sense. Why was he reading that line? But goddamn, Anthony Hopkins
was worthy.
So
good.
Know who,
but
what was going
Anthony
on.
Hopkins is such an amazing actor. Where it's like, I out of all the movies we've seen so far, it's the three that we've seen, whatever. This is the movie that I paid the least attention, but as soon as Anthony Hopkins' voice came in, like when he is getting pissed at Thor and like fucking reaming him out,
yeah.
Damn, that was some solid acting.
Mm. He too, sort right? of, he said he makes it feel more real. Yeah. I don't know. There's yeah. some, there's
he's
some
a
quality.
Great.
He's pretty good. He's going places, man.
He's going places.
He might
yeah,
have a career.
Yeah. Idris Elba,
he's got
man.
A future in this, man.
Oh, Idris Elba's another one. Like, oh man, the second day we're in, I was like, I'm in. Yeah. Idris Elba's here. I'm in.
Yeah,
yeah.
But this is, you know, of course, we're time travelers now watching this movie. But how bad did you want to hear Immigrant Song?
Oh,
so
bad.
Entire fucking movie.
So
bad.
It was boring.
Well, yeah. the thing about it is I remember watching this the first time, and I came out of the theater, and I thought to myself, I really liked the things I liked about the movie. Was it was cool to see Asgard. It was cool to see how the mythology mixed with the science of the world and how they were explaining that. And to the, he has that great line where he's like, "To me, magic and science are one and the same. Like mm-hmm. that's in my world. Like we just don't mm-hmm. think about it in the same terms as you do." And I really liked Natalie Portman, and I really liked watching okay. Natalie Portman look at Chris Hemsworth and have him look at her, and you could
she
I
was
hope
so thirsty
I could
so
hope
thirsty.
I hope that they actually liked each other, because it really felt that way.
Oh,
like they really
she
liked
was
each
in
other
love
right?
with him, and I liked that.
She's a great actress.
I love that. It totally I feel like that gave her character a lot more, which is weird because like it's such an archetype of just like, oh, she's the smart girl and she likes the hot guy
she
or whatever
the...
but there's something about it that works for me, right?
Yeah, they were cute
girl
together.
Yeah, he was a boy. One thing that I really like, one of the best scenes I think in the whole movie is towards the beginning when they are they decide to go against her father's wishes and go confront the Ice
Jotunheim
Giants
or whatever it's called.
Yeah, whatever the fuck, Jotunheimer or whatever.
Jotunheim,
and
right.
go back to your planet, little girl, or whatever.
Yeah,
and then cut to Loki and
princess.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah,
princess.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I love that scene because it. It shows such a like a brutal nature that Thor has, and he's like kind of a bully almost, and he's
yeah,
like, man,
yeah,
I'm gonna
yeah,
fuck
yeah.
this guy up or whatever. But
yeah, he's totally the high school quarterback.
I totally, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I totally don't remember Thor's character being this way. I don't remember like this cocky, arrogant.
Well, because it changes after this.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
He had to be
yeah.
humble.
I guess
to
that was
worthy.
His arc or whatever.
And what's cool is like his character totally changed after this movie.
Yeah,
I mean, like what halfway through this movie where he like. Sacrifice
Another.
Himself. Yeah.
I guess I just
dude,
don't...
that was so funny. The humor
Still
in this
funny.
Movie, I think, it was really good.
Yeah, I think
there's
was
a bunch of
parts.
Little
I think there was
moments.
Enough, though.
You think there was enough or not?
I don't
enough?
Think there was
no,
enough.
No, I agree. I don't
I agree
think there
with
was
that.
Enough.
I agree with that.
But the moments that we had, like the another, good. The him getting tased, mm-hmm. there were a bunch of little moments.
Yeah,
where it's
the,
like, yeah.
We're going to have to drive around all over New Mexico to find him. They just hit him immediately.
That's
great moments.
So. We were getting into this last week. We did something where I had Greg give the plot.
Sure,
it was a huge success
too, and it was
it's
a huge success.
Awesome.
Let me tell
I
you, nobody
switch it up a bit,
it.
And I want to have different gears. People give the plots week to week. Nick, it's your week.
Kicking it
What's
off.
What's the Thor plot?
The plot synopsis is as follows: Thor follows the titular character Thor Odinson as he is about to take the throne of Asgard, right? His dad's about to abdicate the throne. Dad, played by Anthony Hopkins, of course. Dad has some reserves, though, because he realizes deep down that his son is not quite ready. He's not good enough of a
Hasn't
man.
Gone through puberty yet.
He does not mm-hmm. have what it takes
he
to be king
yet. He still has
dyed
eyebrows.
We are, that is backed yep. up when somebody lets in a frost giant into this cool... albeit very simply placed prison, or not prison, but like a menagerie
Museum,
of all these incredibly dangerous fucking weapons.
And now let me give you a couple
that have two guards. And that's
fun
it.
Things there. You
but
can
the
see,
destroyer was back there, ready to fucking.
Yeah, the destroyer was ready to fuck things up. You can see the Eye of Agamotto, which we later see more about in Doctor Strange. The Orb of Agamotto, the Eternal Flame, the Tablet of Life and Time, the Casket for Ancient Warriors that is really prominent in this movie. And then the fake Infinity Gauntlet that they had to retcon later in the Asgard Weapons Vault that we see in Ragnarok, where they're like, well, we shouldn't have shown that early.
Yeah.
We totally got to
And
write
I like
that out.
I like how they retconned it, by the
Me
way.
Me too. Me too.
And it's cool that it was...
And it was cool that yeah. we saw it, because yep. that was yep. world building, even if they eventually
yep.
backed out of it.
Because back then, that was super exciting. Super I remember being exciting. Like, oh my God.
That's the fucking They're
doing
gauntlet.
It. Yeah.
Missed
yeah.
it in the theaters, missed it in this one.
Yeah.
Me too.
How? Well, I mean,
this
actually,
movie's boring as fuck. Shot. I was probably looking at my phone. like, Jesus.
That's fair. So we pick the story back up there, where two ice giants from this other planet that Asgard and them have been feuding for years, and there's been there's a tentative peace that now we think is going to get broken when two ice giants try to break in and steal whatever that ice cube thing is.
It's the power.
That is the casket of.
That's the casket of. whatever, Robert. Which is their weapon, the weapon that they use to attack Asgard, Mordor. That has been locked in this menagerie and this weapons chamber for a very, very long time, thus ensuring peace.
Casket now, for ancient warriors.
Those two are killed, but we learn very, very shortly that they were red herrings. Basically, they were just there to incite Thor and his gang of merry men and women to go back and kick some ass where the Ice Giants are from.
In a very cool action scene. Including a baller-ass scene where I usually don't like the CG monsters running after people and whatever. But when they let loose the big frost giant thing and was chasing him down, and he fell down the hole, and they thought they had him. But then he like went
that
on
was
the...
Underneath it, running upside down.
I'm like, that's a cool-ass
And then Thor
thing.
Shoots through his mouth,
Thor
through the back
becoming
of his head.
The bullet.
Fuck.
Oh my god!
One shout out
so
of this
cool.
scene that I that they didn't actually lament too. They didn't spend too much time like showing. But there's a spot where he's fucking knocking people out of the park on the ice planet. What's it called? Jürgensteigens.
That's it. Jürgensteigens.
Heineken. Roth. And he goes. They start coming at him, and he realizes there's too many of them, and he starts twirling the hammer, and then. Fucking knocking them out of the
It's so cool. The sound design on that's great too.
Right? Yeah. Shout out to the sound design of that and the destroyers. Which
great.
In theaters was so fucking loud that I was like, it actually terrified me the first time I heard it.
I love his design.
The destroyer.
Awesome. Especially the scene where he like did the Transformers thing. He spins around. Like,
yeah.
It's terrifying.
Someone thought about this.
So well done. Yeah.
I love it because it reminds me of the robot from The Day the Earth Stood Still, which is that menacing. Just standing there, indestructible, like thing that you know you can't
no
stop.
Remorse, no feelings,
zero.
No face
just
to like
doing
gauge
job.
Emotion.
And what a cooler name than the Destroyer. That's pretty awesome. So they go to this ice planet, which is and Thor starts kicking ass, but it turns out, hey, guess what? We've been off a little too much more. We can chew. Spoilers for Thor's character. That's what he does. He just brazenly goes in where he rushes in where, you know, angels fear to tread. And Odin has to come down and save him and goes, look, you're straight up just not ready for this. And it can't do it, right? You're not going to be king. And he has that amazing line delivery where he goes, but you're not king. Whatever reason, Kenneth Branagh was like, that's the take we're using.
It was good, though.
That's going to be the take we're
like
using,
randomly, Anthony Hopkins just goes,
I laughed at that, too.
So, but, like, it's so good. Also, when he, like, teleports in with the rainbow with on his horse, he's also sick. Making that yell.
Yeah.
And it's fucking good. It's like, all right.
You're Thor's dad. I buy that. I also love Thor saying that I have no plans to die today.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
No one ever does.
That was a great response.
I want to give a shout out to Loki as a character here, too. He's the one. He's the motivating factor all this. You can see him nudging Thor on the path to do exactly what he wants.
Yeah, so very quickly, we learn a couple things that are important. One,
he's like Grima Wormtongue.
Loki is not what he seems in either physical form or mental. Mentally, he's actually been basically manipulating Thor into going on these things so that he can get his father's favor and eventually take over Asgard and become king. Thor is an idiot who's just along, like straight. What you see is what you get, and does not see that his brother is doing this. We also learn that Loki, when he was touched by one of the Frost Giants, may actually, in fact, be one of the Frost Giants, which throws him for a loop because he was like, that explains why I don't look like one of the other Hemsworth brothers. Mm-hmm. I look clearly like someone completely different. Mm-hmm. Confronts his father about that. His father, for whatever reason, passes out because we learn that he was supposed to. He was abdicating the throne because he's dying. He's basically his time on in this ethereal realm ending. Right? Can't remember how, but somehow he banishes Thor to Earth, Midgard.
Well, but you're not king, he tears off his little badges.
Right, that's so cool.
For your father and for your father, for my father and my father's father, you're done, right? Takes Mjolnir, which, by the way, has the coolest fucking origin story ever with one line, forged in the heart of a dying star.
Are we going to see that shit?
I hope we are.
Right. Takes it away from him, whispers something in, right? We don't really understand the context of it, but we think it's probably going to come back later in the third act, which spoilers it does, where he says, what is it? Whoever holds this power, if he be worthy, shall have the power of Thor, basically. And we see the little cool little symbol pop on it for a second, which I didn't realize actually comes back in a second. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, that goes to Midgard. Thor goes to Midgard, and we start his real journey, which is that he's now a real person. He doesn't have his powers anymore. Midgard is Earth. That's where we find Natalie Portman, Kat Denning, and the bad guy from The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Who were always really
Eric Sedgwick.
Eric Sedgwick, played by Stellan Skarsgård, one of the Skarsgårds, who, by the way, I think is related to the guy that played It.
It, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. At least they have the same last name, which is probably a very common Nordic last name. He meets Natalie Portman, who is a... astrologist? I can't remember what she does, but she is physicist.
Astrophysicist.
That's the one. She's studying wormholes, and I can't remember the name that she said, the Eisenstein Bridge or whatever it is. Yeah, but she's studying wormholes. Yeah. She just happens to be very good friends with someone who is incredibly Nordic and remembers North mythology from when he's young, and they start piecing together that maybe this guy might be either crazy or there might be something to him being Thor. He tries to go get his hammer back. Of course, he fails because he is not worthy of this yet.
In which they introduce Hawkeye to the picture that I totally forgot totally about, forgot. And he's there for 2 seconds because this movie's forgettable.
It's so weird though because I think this is another case of
you're an idiot.
When you go back and watch it, it's like we didn't know that Hawkeye mattered. You know, it's like people was like, oh,
I remember that
Hawkeye's
being a huge deal, and me being like, I don't remember the Arrow guy. But I'm gonna look for it next time I see it.
But that's the thing. Yeah. Is like I feel like at that point there was the hardcore Marvel Comics fans knew, but the Marvel fans, the just as general like people that grew up with the '90s cartoons and stuff, they were more like, oh yeah, there's an Arrow guy. It's that guy.
I mean, I feel like Hawkeye is still like there's an Arrow guy.
No, he's great.
Comic runs that are like now he's iconic.
Yeah, comic runs.
Well, they've then kind of turned his character kind of that way in Age of Ultron and stuff. A little bit.
We'll see.
I do feel like as Loki is sort of guiding Thor to do all these sort of things, it's sort of taken away the history that Thor knows that he's kind of mischievous.
Yeah, it's weird
stuff,
that
like,
as a person who is a self-proclaimed god of mischief, is that what he is?
I think he's self-proclaimed.
Like, well, people, I guess the people talk to him about it now, but like Loki in Norse mythology... Like when he opens the book, he's like, oh, this is Loki. He's the god of mischief or whatever it is.
And
so
lies. People, mischief and lies.
So people kind of knew that about him before and going into this.
Like for the first 2/3 of the movie, Thor's kind of acting like he's never been tricked by Loki before. Yeah. Or he's like, Loki's never fucked with him. And then
I mean, I think it's always been like brotherly fucking with.
But
like
no,
you know, turning into a snake
no,
and then fighting him.
I think he's done pretty bad shit. Snakes. But then at that one part towards the end where he mentions like, I should have expected this from you or whatever. It's like, well, yeah, like, I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
I guess they have to do that for the viewers, but...
You're going
to
be a bad guy in the next, like, 4 movies straight. That, yeah, we probably should expect you.
I actually didn't love Loki in this movie. Yeah. Like, I loved him in Avengers, obviously. Yeah. But I feel like in this movie, I was like, I was like, oh, man, I'm stoked to watch Thor because, like,
get
more Loki. And I feel like he was kind of lame in this. And I feel like it was a necessary lameness.
There was no puny god moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I mean, that's not his moment, though.
It's not my favorite. It's not my favorite set of Loki moments or by any stretch of the imagination, but I appreciated it being his origin.
Yeah.
Where it was is like, I don't know anything about these guys. He's turning them into, okay, I see where he's going.
Yeah. I bought most of it. I just like, at the end of the day, it's forgettable. And I feel like Thor, the movie overall to me wasn't bad. It's just kind of the first one of them.
Yeah.
One of the bunch. But where you're at in the plot, I love the scene of him coming in to get the hammer.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I love the cameos and people trying to get the hammer. That was the first was real fun. Bit of like levity in the movie, I think, that on Earth at least, that wasn't the whole
ties into the what we were talking about prior, where we do see the Coulson scene, he pulls up.
Yep.
This time he's at Acura. I think, which I think was a different car than he was prior to that. Maybe it had a different sponsorship. I just remember thinking, wow, that's an Acura.
There were tons of
Acuras.
There's
a lot of Acuras in this
movie.
Yeah, that was weird.
That's
tons
funny.
Of
but Acuras. I loved that scene, but I really loved him breaking into the
Yeah.
It was a fucking awesome action scene. He was so confident. And like, I didn't really like the whole him giving her the coat and being like, you're going to want to get ready for this. It's like, what? You make it rain? Like,
well, it was going to be lightning storm.
It just started raining.
I think it was more he didn't need it.
You know, like, well, I think he knew it was going to rain. He wanted to keep her dry.
Armor on, like I don't need a jacket. I'm gonna.
Yeah, I don't know. Up. I think it was convenient that literally he gave it to it and then it started raining.
Well, I think he knew it was going to rain. It was like thunder and it was thunder. There was thunder there. He's
so
the god of thunder.
He fights through all of these people
and it's badass.
Badass. He still wins, but at the end he goes and to grab the Mjolnir and in one triumphant fuck up, he puts both hands on it, pulls, and what has to be the biggest his biceps have ever been
God.
Scene.
Those things deserve titles on the fucking poster.
They must have been his grandfather and his grandfather's grandfather, whatever the fuck
I do love
Odin said about him. They were
Coulson's
gorgeous.
Like,
I want to see.
Kind of like, let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens.
I do love that curiosity.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Right. Him not getting it. I loved that moment. But just going back, I loved how they handled Hawkeye, where it was just kind of a tease, which made me more interested in who he was. Because it's like, if they gave us shit, it would have been like, okay, no one gives a fuck.
Right.
But not giving it, I was like, all right. But I love the scene of him looking at the gun and then grabbing the bow and arrow. I'm like, that's dope. But my favorite thing of that scene is Thor fucking two-legged drop-kicking the guy.
Yeah.
Like, I swear to God, there was like a freeze frame there for a second. I'm like, that's fucking rad.
But also, Hawkeye's response, like, I'm starting to root for this guy.
He's like, if you guys don't hurry up, I'm starting to root for this guy. Yeah. That was really fun. Of course, he grabs the hammer, and like everyone else who is not worthy, he is not able to pick it up, and that thus we find our character in the worst possible spot where he's realized that he has failed completely, and once we think it can't get any worse, he gets a visit from his brother while he's in captivity, and Loki says, hey, bad news. Dad died, and Mom doesn't want you to come back. You are exiled. Your exile continues. You have to stay here forever, which puts him on the path of just kind of accepting it very quickly, I might add.
Very quick.
Because the next day, he just starts making breakfast for everyone.
Well, he feels bad. Like, he felt guilty. He was like, I caused this. Like, and I think that's the start of the change for the character.
Right.
Suddenly, he has a moment and reflects, like, man, I really fucked up.
Yeah.
Because the key there, too, that you didn't add is, like, Loki said, there's peace now. We're cool together.
You can't come back.
It's conditional on you not coming back.
Now, of course, that's what he's saying, but back on Asgard, that's not what Thor's boys and friends are seeing. They're seeing that Loki has basically manipulated this whole situation to become king. They don't like that. Idris Elba sure as shit doesn't like that. We get yet another great scene with Idris Elba where he's standing there and he's like, do you mean to tell me that you're going to basically like commit treason and go against the king's wishes if I let you pass? And they're like, yeah, he goes, good. And walks just away, right? Just get out baller. There, right?
Love that.
So baller is badass.
Totally working for somebody he does not want to work for.
He had
love that.
Solid right. scenes, too. The like...
Where he gets fired?
No, yeah, but right before that, he's like, I've never seen, like, I looked on you, and I couldn't see you. Like, that's never happened
before.
Well,
yeah, before. What are you doing, Loki?
Yeah.
I'm on to you, you little fuck.
Right. Putting some stuff together.
He's a freak, man. He's watching all sorts of people.
Are we at the part where he gets frozen yet?
Well, so we're coming up to that. So, of course, they go to Midgard. They find Thor.
Do not mistake my appetite with apathy.
Yeah, yeah, from the guy, Gimli from the troll, man.
Oh, right.
Eating the shit.
And my ox.
Of course, this kind of verifies
what
Stellan Skarsgård and Natalie Portman were thinking, was that this guy might actually be legitimately Thor. When they see four other people dressed up in costumes, they were like, oh, wow. And to which I would have been like, that's kind of weird that they're dressed in costumes, but they really haven't done anything yet. And then, of course, Loki gets wind of this. And realizes shit's about to go down. I got to send the destroyer to kill my brother. Right.
Which was weird.
It was a weird question. Like, yeah, because they could have just locked him there.
They introduced the destroyer in a very brief thing of when the Frost Giants were first coming in.
He just gets rid of the problem right away.
He gets rid of the problem. It's like, oh, he's a protector of the museum. Not museum, but like...
The trophy room.
The trophy room. Cool. But then Loki's just like, hey, go get Thor. And he's like, okay. Like,
yeah, it does. He has to obey.
Yeah.
So the destroyer comes to Earth.
Is it alive? Did it die?
I don't know.
Because I just assumed it was like a robot.
Yeah, but like the thing is, was Loki king? Because technically the king was still king.
Yeah, but he was like basically
the king's
in a
down,
coma.
Yeah, the king, you got to have that.
Yeah,
you know,
that whole part, I think maybe either I was looking at my phone, but I don't know how he became king.
He slipped the destroyer like a $20 bill. I was like, hey, man, just do it.
I know it's so just the convoluted, like, badass king thing, but Loki's sitting on the throne all fucking slouched and shit.
Yeah.
With his stupid ass horns that look really cool.
I fucking love those horns. Those are so cool.
So his boys come to Earth. They're like, hey, some shit's going down. You got to come back. Your dad's still alive. Loki's been lying to you.
He's pissed.
He goes, oh, no. And then the destroyer comes and wrecks all of the Acuras. Just takes them all out in one shot.
It just destroys this fake ass city.
Just takes down this weird small town in New Mexico that only 15 people are living at. And comes for Thor. Thor, of course, goes, hey, I can't fight this guy. I'm a normal human being now. You guys keep, like, you know, go after him, but just buy me some time so that I can take a child from 15 feet away and put that child in the back of a pickup truck, and then I will have thus become a hero. Of course, the destroyer ain't having any of that shit.
Mm-mm.
He fucks everyone up, and Thor finally realizes that the only way to save his friends, the only way to truly, truly, like, save his friends is to be selfless and sacrifice himself so that they can get away. Where they're going, nobody fucking knows, because the destroyer can fly.
He knew that they were out. The destroyer just wanted to kill him. Exactly. So he was like, let me just end this.
So he, of course, says, brother, I don't know what I've done to you in the past, whatever I do, I truly am sorry for this. Do what you got to do. And look, he has that one moment where you're like, oh, he's going to forgive him. No, he's not. Just fucking slaps Thor across the chest like kills Hulk Hogan did to Greg in that hotel room and kills him.
True story.
Right. But in killing him, and when as his dying breath's happening and Natalie Portman's crying over him, she's like, no. They're like, we got to go. This thing's still fucking crazy. Thor.
Crazy.
Right? Thor, then, of course, has proven his father right. He has become worthy. And even though he's lying on the ground, Mjolnir pops up from its spot, goes up into the air, and we see Thor grab it. We see his hand grab it. And you think he's standing, but he's not. He's actually still laying down, which is crazy. And then his armor starts coming back on him, and he just hands that destroyer its ass. As the God of Thunder should.
And then Natalie Portman's like, it's a good look.
That is the best. That was awesome. She goes, is that the way you normally look? And he's like, yes. And she's like, good look. It's so hot. Yeah. She says it. And then there's another scene where he like says something to her and she just giggles a little bit.
She giggles.
And it's
all she does in this movie is giggle.
Oh my God. I love Natalie Portman so much.
Such a good actor.
It almost makes you overlook how bad his hair piece is. The entire
it's so bad.
The hair and the fucking eyebrows. Why?
The hair and the cape.
The cape is like
it's like
the shoulder pads in the cape are amazing.
Stiff,
yeah.
On the shoulders, the kind. I don't know.
Right. Super.
When the destroyer first unnatural. Came, I really appreciated the scene of him blowing up the Acuras and Coulson being like, "Is that Stark tech?"
Yeah.
Like, it's things like that.
Yeah.
Building the universe.
There was a moment.
Yeah.
Where
I love his like sort of disappointment where he's like, "Fucking shit, Tony Stark, what are you doing?" Mm-hmm. You know, like you could see like he's used to this sort of bullshit already.
There was a moment where Thor and Coulson are talking. And he says, "Son of Cole."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I thought was just a random, like, those little interactions.
That's funny.
I didn't
that. That's really funny.
We did skip probably the best scene that I apologize about. When he first goes back to her apartment, he is shirtless for approximately 15 seconds.
Jesus. That is true.
He got that thrust bucket.
And in doing so, I distinctly remember, they say smell is the best thing to, like, get memories back in your brain? Not true. Chris Hemsworth's abs are, in fact, the best because I remember watching that scene in the theater and letting out an audible gasp when I saw it. I was like, and whoever I was with watching it was like, you just fucking gasped at Chris Hemsworth.
How dare you,
dude,
Chris?
Honestly, we talked about it already, but the scene of him fucking getting the hammer, like those biceps, like, I was like, was that big, CG? Bro.
Remember this. Chris Hemsworth, it was rumored at the time, a while back, Chris Hemsworth and Chris Pine were both vying for Captain Kirk. Chris Pine, of course, got that. Chris Hemsworth got his dad.
His daddy role, yeah. That's
probably the best scene in the entire three movies. And they're making a movie about that dad, so he might reprise that role.
Oh, are they?
Supposedly.
So back in the day,
I thought to myself, oh, wow, how horrible is it that he got asked out on that? Because Chris Pine's career is totally amazing. Look forward 10 years. Who's got the 8 movies with Marvel that are keep going? Chris Pine's career is like, maybe he's out there fighting.
He was in Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Is he going to be in the next one?
He's going to be in the sequel.
Hey, he was in a picture.
Okay. There was one really awful scene of CG where Heimdall is frozen, and behind him, an ice giant looks like a fucking video game character from like PS2, and he just sort of like...
Yeah, it was bad.
All the ice giants look bad.
I mean, the practical, when they're up close talking and... You could see that some of them are just humans that are scaled up or whatever. Yeah. But then some of them are just straight up like, I feel like in that scene, they forgot that they filmed it without ice giants. And they're like, fuck, we forgot to put the ice giants in there.
What's this?
Totally like, oh, dude, call up Randy. He's in college for like 3D art, right? Yeah, have him fucking make a model. And like,
fucking looked, Randy,
just put
dude.
Some blue blobs back
there.
That'd
be terrible,
fun.
Dude. It looks so bad.
So, of course, then once he's beat the Destroyer and he realizes that Loki's plot is there, Heimdall frees himself from the ice, stabs Gumby and the Smurf on his right, and then lets him back
so dope,
up.
Though.
It was cool.
Well, lops their head off, right? And, like, a really... Like, they have they no problem there. Killing ice giants. Yeah.
They ain't people, it's fine.
And then
like,
comes...
Fuck the skull.
Jesus.
Was that his allegiance scene?
Yeah.
And then comes back to beat the shit out of the rest of the ice giants that are there, who one of them laid hands on Rene Russo. And let me tell you, son, you don't lay hands on Rene Russo in my house. That's just not how that goes. Thor comes back. Loki, of course, has Odin's staff, which is very powerful as well, because I don't remember Loki being that powerful. I think Thor hands him his ass in Avengers. And they fight, and they fight, and they fight. But meanwhile, Loki's like, hey, I'm going to set this rainbow bridge to destroy the ice giants so that when my father wakes up, who I think he was planning to kill, but I'm not quite sure what that whole plan was, he's going to be really proud of me and see that I am the heir to the throne, even though I could probably just kill him right now. Mm. But then when the ice giants go to kill him, he kills him, and there's a whole thing. So his plot, we learn, was that the ice giants were going to come. They were going to try to kill him. He was going to save his father and then let his father make him king, even though he was already king. And had the ice giant just killed his father, he could have killed the ice giant and been totally fine.
But he wants the love and respect of Odin.
That's true.
And he could see it in his eyes.
This hunk of man, Thor, getting all
And so once that doesn't happen, he goes the opposite way with it, which is what we've learned about the Marvel franchise, is that once you don't get your way, you go psychopath, right? I'm going to commit genocide and destroy all of these ice giants by setting the rainbow bridge on
fucking
eye.
Remember, they don't matter. You know
they don't matter. They don't matter. Ice giants don't matter.
They are his people.
And so he does that. He locks it in. Thor can't get it done. And Thor, of course, has to make the choice. Do I destroy the bridge and never see Natalie Portman again unless Idris Elba's kind of creepily looking at her? Or do I try to find another option? Of course, it's a no-brainer for him. He smashes he has a great shot where he beats Loki's ass. And then in order for Loki not to get up, he just lays the fucking hammer on his chest.
So good.
Which was really cool. And then he goes, I got to destroy this bridge. Takes it, smashes the bridge to pieces, ending, I guess they don't have a backup bridge anywhere. They just kind of really ask them, all the eggs in that one basket.
If I remember correctly, there is another bridge in the next two movies, right?
Yeah, they kind of
When it ended, I was very much like, how does he get back? I remember there being more bridges and more rooms and shit. Like, how
Well, I mean, Loki was able to get the frost giants there in the beginning of the movie.
There was a line where he was talking to Idris Elba, and he was like, Idris Elba was even like, there's other ways.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's other ways. So.
Also, I looked up the way you spell Bifrost. Totally different than what I thought.
How do you spell it?
How do you spell it?
I don't know. I think it's like
B-I-F-R-O-S-T.
No, it's like,
that sounds right. Huh? They show it in the book, don't they? They open the book, and it's a picture of a rainbow.
I could have sworn it was spelled weirdly.
It might be. It's Norse.
I pictured like B-I. I pictured the way B-I Greg Frost, spelled it. Yeah. Maybe I'm being weird
right
now.
Did you get that sticky icky last night? Yeah, you see Thor fly.
So, of course, Loki, in all the destruction, Loki is thrown off the thing, and Thor goes to grab him, but Thor falls as well, and then Odin is woken up, and Odin grabs him and saves him, and all of them are together, and they're like, Loki, don't kill yourself. And Loki's like, I just wanted your approval, father. Yeah, I was going to be the one.
I'm going to let go.
Yeah, and then he lets go and goes into space, which I thought was kind of cool, because I was like, where is he going to go? Is he dead? Can they breathe? How is this all happening? How are they not breathing? I don't understand. And then Thor has a wonderful moment with his father, and he goes, I understand it. I'm not ready to be king yet. I have a lot to learn from you. I'm going to be better. And then he goes over and he says to Idris Elba, hey, what is she doing right now? Describe to me what she's wearing.
Yeah.
Can we get a little creepy? And it gets a little creepy.
It gets a little creepy.
It gets a little creepy.
Natalie Portman. And she's all like,
yeah, I'm going to find a way back to this unbelievably tall surfer guy. Mm. If it breaks me, I will find that way back. Yeah.
Even though it's a dead-end relationship, we're just going to break up off-camera.
Yeah, that was upsetting.
We'll figure it out.
It's unfortunate. And then they reused the same shot that they used at the beginning of the movie where we see the upside down of Asgard. And it flips up, and I was like, did they just reuse a shot?
That was weird.
Guess they ran out of money.
The upside down side of Asgard like lava? I thought it was lava, not like weird crystal.
Who knows?
Because it doesn't matter. We'll figure it out.
Also, where does Loki fall? Like,
he falls in.
I think he falls in one of those opposite
into time.
Other ways.
Well, they established that all of the other worlds are different parts of the same tree. So he
probably teleported to Thanos and was like, "Hey, that plan didn't work out. You got any options?"
Well, no, we know he goes to Midgard. Because of the post-credit scene.
His reflection.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's using his mischief to be there and possess Sarsgaard.
Mischief managed.
Yeah. So,
do you think he already had the staff?
I don't know.
We'll get there.
We don't know.
It's the post-credit scene, Nick.
Post-credit scene. We start with Samuel L. Jackson hanging out with Stellan Skarsgård's character, right? Now, this guy's just apparently the smartest man in the world because everyone wants a piece of him. And Nick Fury's like, hey, we got this cool thing we want you to help us out with. What do you think it is? Nick Fury goes, it's power. Untapped, unlimited power. We don't know what it is, but if we can tap into it, it's going to be a fucking bad thing, right? And he looks down, and I forget what he says, but it's something to the tune of, well, I guess I got to give that a shot. But as he's saying it, the reflection is really Loki whispering it in his ear. And so we're like, oh, Loki figured out
he's
that
alive.
The Tesseract is in play.
Yeah.
And he wants his piece of it.
This thing that we're still not really clear about. And that's a weird thing is, again, I think these movies are better watching them in retrospect because I remember when that post-credit scene happened, especially coming off the Iron Man 2 one where we saw Thor, seeing this, it's like, okay, Loki's alive, but like.
I just pretended I was a comics fan. I was like, woohoo! No way! The fucking thing, dude!
But it's like, okay, there's a blue cube.
Dude!
But we didn't know, and we didn't know what that was going to be until Captain America, right? Don't they explain it more?
Yeah,
and
yes,
that's the main
really
MacGuffin in Captain America.
But that's why. Like
it's weird they introduced it backward.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, what is that thing?
And I will.
I get excited for Captain America.
Yeah,
and now it's a fun thing for us to be like, oh, it's an Infinity Stone.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I think that's fun. But going into Captain America, it's like, what is this?
Like, I feel like we knew. I mean,
we didn't.
As comic book readers, we knew it.
That's getting too far into it. I didn't at that point.
Really?
I had no idea.
Had you not read the Ultimate series?
Not that.
Damn, he's checking your knowledge, dog.
Fucking fake nerd, boy. What's it like working out?
That's where it comes.
Ever done a push-up, dog?
All right, going through this, we just went through the plot there. For villains, we had three different villains that kind of like went into it. There was the Frost Giant.
Hell yeah,
Laffy,
top of the top of the list.
Whatever.
Right. Bad guys on bad guys.
Very easy to kill.
Ragu Bagu Vibs.
Ragu Bagu Vibs on Twitter.
Also, wait, wasn't the king... That was Loki's dad, right?
No, that was another one, right?
They really should have clarified that, because I was like, wouldn't this guy know that was his son?
And also, wouldn't he be like, hey, you're actually my dad.
Yeah, hey, we should hang out.
How would he know if it was his son if he dropped him off? He just dropped this kid. He was just a runt giant, dropped him off.
He was a runt giant.
They left him to die, then Odin's, the war happens. You don't know what's happening.
It's weird.
I don't think
shows
he
shows back
I think
up
he,
with white skin.
He was
dating
someone
Taylor
else.
Swift. You don't know what's him.
Let's know in the comments, because I was under the assumption he was his dad.
But see, I thought they should have had a little bit of a moment there, don't you think? Because he was like, hey, man, I'm your son.
Yeah, I didn't think he was
I thought maybe the king died and this was the new king.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I thought.
Did he die in the fight?
He was like, I'm going to take this
game. Yeah, he died fighting against what's-his-face. Good old one eye.
I buy it. And then obviously Loki being the real bad guy and the Destroyer being the kind of like fight scene bad guy.
Sure, okay.
Right?
A lot of bad guys here.
And then going into action scenes to kind of, because they all kind of go into that. There's the first action scene of being in the, when they were in Jotunheimer's and they fought all the Frost Giants.
Jägermeisters.
Then there was the one where they fought the Destroyer, and then there was Thor versus Loki at the end. And then, you know, there's a couple little action things with Idris Elba. But I thought overall the action in this movie was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of wanted more of it. That's the thing, is I feel like we spent a long time on the roof with Natalie hanging out, and I was like, I'm getting used to this. And I'm like, oh, wait, this is an action movie. That's right. There's more stuff going on.
But I feel like this wasn't just an action. I feel like there were rom-com kind of like.
But it wasn't a
rom.
It's funny because I remember it being more rom-com than it was.
Good job, Craig.
And I also remember it being a lot more fascinating on the Nordic side than it was.
I think we've just seen so much more of it.
Yeah,
now,
and that probably is.
Because in the next Thor movie, there's a lot of Asgard.
Oh, and man, I'm not looking forward to that at all.
None of the...
When he fights elves.
When he fights the dark elves.
God,
so bad.
That's my shit
right
there,
man. They stab themselves with that crystal and it's like steroids.
Yeah, they just jacked up on Mountain Dew. Yeah, it's three.
The comedy, again, I thought when it was there was good, but I just think that it was
not enough of it.
Yeah, too little of it for how long this movie felt. Because if I might be wrong about this, but I think this is the shortest of the Marvel movies we've seen.
Wow, really?
It also feels very long.
I was checking my watch.
I
didn't feel that way.
I don't hate it.
I didn't feel that way. I don't know why. I didn't hate the movie at all.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, but I was doing something, so I was a little distracted.
I feel like once we get to the fish out of water part, once we get to the Thor on Earth, it's really fun for me.
Yeah.
But the Asgard stuff, because I thought my first perception, and this was kind of iron back, proven for me again, was that his little team of people, nothing there for me.
Yeah.
They're not fascinating. They're weird caricatures themselves.
Yep.
They got Ray Stevens as this kind of like oafish dwarf, and I know those are supposed to be those characters, but I'm like, this was missed.
Yeah,
but
and then the sad thing is that whole thing was necessary though, right? Like, we needed it to have any understanding of Thor and Loki because we didn't. Right?
We had to have people being like, this is Thor, this is his character, and they had to be explained with the friends. But I just feel like none of that stuff really worked that well to me. And then we got to Natalie Portman, and she's the truth.
She is the truth.
God damn,
so that's kind of the whole standalone thing there. But then for universe building, you know, we got Eric Selvig kind of like him being a big part.
Wait, what do we think is standalone? You think it's a good standalone movie or a bad standalone movie?
I mean, standalone, I think it's fine. Okay. I think that, you know, all the problems we're talking about, I mean, it's like it's kind of boring and it's a lull throughout most of it. But it does have a lot of good points. It's funny when it's funny. The action scenes are good. And, you know, seeing like the fish out of water storyline, I feel like they didn't go far enough into it. Like this movie had too much going on because it had to set up a whole other world. And I think they did a good job with that. But because of that, I don't think that it necessarily stands alone.
I think it was a little slow.
Very slow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's out of all the Marvel movies we've seen so far, aged the poorest. Where, like, we're now used to a little more action and, like, faster cuts.
Yeah.
And they just, we don't get that.
Or well, that's what this, I mean, comedy. This is when I watched the original movie. I remember my original critique of it was, like, I was, yeah, kind of bored. I didn't love it that much. And mainly because just, I don't know much about Thor, and he wasn't really Thor, if that makes sense. Like, this is his origin movie, but he's Thor in the beginning, and he loses the hammer, and it's him without the hammer for a long time, which is cool in terms of, let's build a character, make
relatable,
worthy, all that jazz. But it's also like, I kind of also want to see you fucking hit things with the hammer and show me what your power set is. And like, do you fly or do you throw the hammer? I'm not 1,000% sure. Show me. Well, I know that.
And
I mean,
catches him with a string.
With a string.
See, I thought they did a good job with that first Frost Giant fight scene. Yeah. Had they not done that, I think.
Sure, but I would have wanted more of that.
Sizable enough where I'm like, I feel like they showed me all of his different uses of the hammer, yeah. Right? And I think when it comes to the early origin fight scenes for these movies, especially for characters that have weapons associated with them, Captain America and the shield, Thor with the hammer, Iron Man with the suit, it's like, really, how creative are they going to be with those uses? And then I think Avengers is what takes it to the next level.
Uh-huh.
And I think Thor did a good job with showing his hammer in different ways, whether it's busting through the
Asgardian bullet.
Yeah, the bullet was cool, and then swinging around was cool. And the way he flew different ways.
Did you like it when he used it to hit rocks at people?
That was dope.
That was great. I thought that was cool.
Get on the fucking groove train, DC.
Where's the groove train?
Yeah, so Eric Selvig, he had the comment where he's like, he knows a gamma scientist that disappeared.
Yeah, that was a great moment.
Incredible
Hulk,
so cool. Yep. Yeah, that's great. Yep. Let's make that movie part of this universe. Hawkeye being there, another cool thing, similar to Black Widow.
He didn't fucking do anything, just like he will continue to not do anything in the rest of his movies.
Bro, he had a choice. He had a wonderful choice between an M16 and a bow and arrow.
All right, cool. Give me my paycheck. See
in
Avengers.
I also agree that he doesn't really do anything in any of these movies, and he's not worth it.
That's true. But we'll.
I mean, I liked what he did, though. It wasn't
what,
much.
Like,
but
aim a thing and then just be like, no.
Well, he had some. He had some neat back and forth with Coulson.
You want to know what would have been cool? You want to know what would have been cool? You want to know what would have been cool?
What?
He sits there the whole time.
Batman vs. Superman be a good movie.
I want to see what he's going to do or whatever. Right? Hawkeye's got the draw, and then finally, all right, take him out. And he fires it, and it's like a fucking net arrow or an electric arrow. Well, not electric because he already got stunned, but a net arrow or something to incapacitate
Just
Thor.
Just a blunt arrow.
A gas
hits
arrow.
Him in the head, knocks him out.
Yeah, that would have even been fucking funny as hell, right? And that's how they take this guy out instead of just like, all right, walk up on him, put him in cuffs. Even though he's just taking out like 30 dudes.
He was
I liked
so
him
devastated.
Not shooting
him.
Yeah.
It made me be like, oh, this guy, I'm waiting to see more from him. Mm-hmm. If he shot the arrow, I'd have been like, eh, fuck, it's lame arrow.
That's his one move.
It could have easily been a random no-name guard that was a sniper that we didn't give a shit about, but they decided to do a little bit extra with it. So that's
and
why
again,
I liked it.
First time watching it, didn't give a fuck about him. I'm now liking it, knowing where it goes. So.
Definitely, definitely.
He's married.
Stop. Spoilers, man.
We'll get there.
Yeah, that's right.
And then there's a deleted scene, it's a little fun thing, where Dr. Selvig also mentions Hank Pym, who's Ant-Man.
Ooh.
They deleted that because that wouldn't have made sense. And then
it's too far ahead.
You know, Coulson asking if the Destroyer is Stark's. So that's all I got for universe building there.
Real quick, can I make this? I don't want to forget it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in the Iron Man 2 review called out us when we were like, man, I could have gone for more Sam Rockwell. That he's actually in the deleted
one, the one shot,
the bonus, one shot or whatever on Iron Man 3's DVD.
I want to try to figure out where the one shots all go.
Yeah,
and I want us to watch those as well.
Okay, should we start a new show? One shot and review? No, that's not bad. One shot stand.
1 minute of one shots.
1 minute of one shots. There it is.
You one v one.
Ragu bagu vids.
One shot, two opinions.
Cool.
There Sometimes three.
So the post credit scene. Random fact that I definitely didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys know it was directed by one Joss Whedon?
Oh,
did not know. That's cool. That explains why it was so
going into
Avengers. Well directed.
Were they working on Avengers at the time? And it was just like, because that's kind of what happened with Ryan Johnson.
It was, way early.
Yeah,
but,
way
I mean,
early.
It was like him. They did it because he's doing.
That's
Avengers.
Really cool.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
So he was announced by that point.
Whether or not he was announced,
way early.
Whether or not he was announced, he knew.
Got it.
We went through the cameos already.
Seven years? How much?
From Thor to Avengers?
Yeah. No, like 2 years.
No, like a year and a half, I want to say.
Wait, 2011 to.
You got Captain America, and then it's Avengers.
I have my year.
And Captain America was.
I'm way off.
The first thing that Thor the Dark World was seminal and needed for Avengers, in fact, was not needed for anything.
Oh, okay.
I can't wait till we get that.
The Dark World, that's phase two, right?
Yeah. Dark World introduced one of the Infinity Stones, so.
Well, Dark World was when they were like. We should do something else.
I really don't
want to
watch Dark World.
I'm going to be honest. Phase 2, I'm really worried about watching a lot of stuff.
No, because we get the second Captain America in Phase 2, right?
Yeah.
Winter Soldier was great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that's the very end, right? Isn't that the
end?
No,
it's pretty early.
Really?
I think.
Do we get
Ant-Man? All right, stay on target, everybody.
Time for the rankings.
Let me see if there's more Easter eggs. Hold on. Jim Carrey was considered to play Loki.
Thank God that didn't fucking happen. Thank God.
At one point, Jane Lynn Thor's shirt that she said belonged to an old boyfriend with a forgotten name tag on it that read Donald Blake, MD. Dr. Donald Blake is Thor's alter ego in the comics.
Have we ever seen Jim Carrey talk with a British accent?
No. Let's move on.
That would have been interesting.
He at one point
That would have sucked.
He did an Australian accent in Ace Ventura When Nature Calls.
Okay.
I think.
A fun random thing for you guys in the Ultimate series that I keep referring to, Thor's character is really fun because a lot of people just think that he's this like
crazy
old drunk guy. That's awesome. What a great storyline. It's kind of like the movie storyline, but
I don't think that the writers had decided whether or not he was crazy and just like a scientist
for very long.
Very, very deep into it.
He's just a dude with a hammer.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Interesting.
He's like a homeless person for a while.
Yeah.
One
billboard for New Mexico tourism scene in the background of one shot features the slogan Land of Enchantment, Journey into Mystery. Journey into Mystery was the original Marvel comic book that Thor debuted in. Tom Hiddleston couldn't stand wearing Loki's helmet and claimed that he channeled that discomfort into the role.
Nailed it.
It looked very tight.
Yeah, it did. I like the look of it.
I love the look of it.
One of those moments where they're like, you know what? There's an iconic comic thing. We got to keep it.
Yeah.
Like,
they nailed
it. Give it to him. So, ranking time.
For the villains?
Ragu Bagu Vids
on Twitter. Come tell us your rankings. So, currently,
how do you spell that?
R A G U B A G U V I D S.
In your face.
Ragu Bagu Vids.
Just like my face. I was just
Rag guys talk about guys.
Fuck you. The vids, huh?
There's another one.
Right. Apparently,
I'll get myself fuck off.
All right.
I'm sure we could have gotten Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys, but Greg wanted Ragu Bagu. So that's why we got it.
Hey, man, you know what? When you got lightning in a bottle,
you got that hammer.
Can we start writing down these villains? Because I feel like we're starting to get to the point where there's too many. Who are we ranking? Is it just Loki?
You're not part of this, Kevin. You can't tell these guys.
You are part of.
You are part of Chilling with the Villains.
No, I'm sorry. Last week, Kevin and I nominated ourselves to be part of both Chilling with the Villains and Ragu Bagu.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you get in.
Since the nomination was not contested for over 24 hours, we are automatically in.
No, we agreed.
In fact, I'm going to vote right now for Nick to be president.
I'm going to vote for Kevin to be co-president, and you guys are out of the club.
I founded Rad Guys.
Both.
I founded Rad Guys. Twitter information. You don't know how to post anything.
I found a Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys because fucking everybody wanted to be a part of Chilling with the Villains. Like, you know what? We need a more exclusive club that not any schlub can get into, all right? Or schlubbet.
Yeah. I'm over the shtick. So
which one of us is
the
schlubbet, you asshole?
The villains. Are we going to talk about them as a collective in Thor?
That's how we did it last time.
I don't like that. Main I think villain, that's a bad idea. Main villain.
Well, what are you going to do then? You're going to have a
It's Loki. The main villain is Loki.
Yes, it's not that hard.
Or
without the blue frost giant king, there is no Loki. There is no war. There is no invasion. I say to you, Ragu Bagu.
Listeners.
I bet you $5.
Who is the real bad guy? The Blue Frost Giant. Thank you. I rest my case.
Well, it could have been Thor's ego also. I'm just saying.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you guys going to rank him?
Wait, no. Who are we ranking again?
It's on you.
We're going to put
Obadiah Stane, number one.
Tony!
All right. Ranking the movies.
So we're not ranking them?
No.
I don't think we ranked them last week either.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Yeah.
I think we tried. Did we ever successfully rank them?
Yeah.
It's probably on that Google doc.
Currently,
it was Rockwell and Mickey, Obadiah, Abomination.
Mm-hmm. I think that Loki goes low. No, but we
I think Rockwell and Mickey are still on top. I'll go.
I'll put Loki at the end.
Yeah, I'd put Loki at the end too.
Abomination.
Like, I know. Like
you guys have been sucking this goddamn Abomination dick for too long.
Be one higher for sure. He's definitely better than Obadiah.
I'm keeping. It doesn't matter. Justin Hammer's on top with my boy Whiplash.
J Ham. Right. All right. The ranking currently goes: Iron Man 1, number 1; Iron Man 2, number 2; The Incredible Hulk, number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Thor fit?
Dead last.
Nope. I concur.
I concur too.
I put this over Hulk.
Our first split vote.
I put this third over Hulk.
Go ahead and vote. It doesn't matter. We already have the numbers.
Can we do like Tick March or something to find out what the consensus is? Yeah, you do have the numbers.
I will. I don't know because I when I it's hard because I watched Incredible Hulk and I was like, wow, I remember that. I liked that a lot more than I thought I was. And I watched Thor again. And I was like, I didn't enjoy this as much as I thought I was going to.
I still enjoy it.
It should be less.
But think about this podcast we just did. I think there were so many more.
Over the Incredible Hulk.
There were so many more moments when we recorded this podcast right here, where all of us said, "What a fucking cool scene!" And that didn't really happen in.
All you've been saying for 4 weeks is how great Abomination is
during Incredible Hulk.
Thor.
I did. I don't know.
You're crazy.
I like Hulk.
The motion passes.
There's a no. Good lord. I want to give you two a chance to change one of our opinions.
Do you, you guys are dead last. We're not dead last, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are saying Incredible Hulk is better than Thor.
I give them that because for the sheer two things. Let me tell you two things
right
now, guys.
Give me the two things, Nick.
One,
two things.
The Chris Hemsworth, Natalie Portman chemistry has never been better. There's never a better chemistry in any Marvel movie that I can think of. I love them together.
What about Tony and Pepper?
I disagree entirely.
What about the Hulk and his girlfriend?
First off, Pepper.
That was
first
great.
Off, Hulk and his girlfriend, whatever. She never comes back. Tony and Pepper. Pepper Potts. Gwyneth Paltrow acts like she doesn't know what the fuck's going on most of the time.
She doesn't. No one can keep up with Tony Stark.
Asshole.
Whatever. And they don't even get together for like three movies. So what does it
matter? About what about Mark Ruffalo's Banner and Scarlett Jo?
She looks at him.
Hell yeah, dude.
And goes, is that how you normally look? And he's like, yeah.
It's a great line.
She's like, good luck.
Wins. I can't recall any scenes of the Hulk where I thought, man, that's fucking rad. Like, I just don't
think. Remember when he was getting really shot by the giant speakers? And he was like.
But I like, but as silly as it is, the payoff where you're like, I know what's going to fucking happen. He's going to give his life for everyone, and then he's going to be redeemed, and he's going to get the hammer back, and he gets the hammer back. To me, it actually worked.
I didn't like it flying.
Yeah, that's the thing. I didn't like it flying.
Thunder.
Like,
lightning.
I wanted a King Arthur moment where he picks it up, and like, I felt like, we built to that because they gave us the fake out where it was like, oh, he's going to grab it and he's going to make out. Oh, he's not worth it. And then it just suddenly is like, oh, hey, it magically went back to you as you were dying.
He called it.
Yeah, when I think about standout scenes.
He didn't have his powers. How could he call it?
Because he
doesn't make
he
any sense.
Because he was
that is a plot hole, in my opinion.
Worthy.
When I think about standout scenes in Thor versus Hulk, I'm not only talking about action sequences that were really cool that made us go, oh, fuck, that's awesome. I'm also just talking about dialogue, like just little one-liners between... like the scene I mentioned earlier where he calls him a princess and Loki says, damn, like that's such a cool moment to me building this universe that I just didn't have any moment like that in Hulk. I thought Hulk was a decent movie.
Well, and also the Thor character is a lot more fun to play with than Hulk. Hulk has to be just straightforward. Like at no point was Edward Norton really taking a break from all of like this horribly traumatizing life that he leads to have some
Hulk?
Fun.
Not really. You wouldn't like me when I'm horny or hungry. Our deleted scene was the horny part.
I'll do it in Spanish for you.
We liked it when not funny, but we liked Stan Lee's thing. Funny. That was funny. We liked when he was hitchhiking on the road and they played the original Incredible Hulk song. We liked when they gave him the purple pants, but he was like, come on.
Didn't fit.
We liked when they went to fuck, but didn't fuck because his heart rate. We're all
like,
that's
like
no
that.
Way to
we
live.
We hated that.
We liked it when some weirdo jujitsu guy came up and had a snake in his belly.
Jason Gracie, you're an asshole.
We liked it when the Modern Family guy showed up.
No, you're just naming things.
You liked it. We liked that. We thought that was funny at the time.
I mean, I don't know. But
it was like
it wasn't a standout. Like, fuck yeah, dude.
We said yeah, that was a cool fight scene, and when it was cool, and he punched in the back of the head. Nobody was like, fuck yeah. That is a Marvel movie! Wow, I'm Jack Black! Nobody did that here!
Well, because, I mean, my thing is, as cool as a lot of these moments were, what I said about the Marvel movie thing of War Machine and Iron Man, to me, that's a fuck yeah moment. In Thor, a lot of it was just like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't.
We
have
said,
any
and
of
we
that
said
Hulk.
In Hulk, we did say, and maybe not you, but for sure, Tim, when we were talking about some of the fight scenes, we're like, that was cool.
I thought the
and you did like fucking Abomination
and all that. I thought that was cool.
That was really cool.
I don't know. I think as a movie, I enjoyed Hulk, and at the end of the day, I liked Thor. Now I like it less. I didn't like Hulk. I like it now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Andy's trying to fucking get in here. Well, he's trying to be Loki.
We don't have the numbers.
Don't want to be Loki.
One. You just listen to the last Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys.
You can't do that.
This friendship is split.
Oh my God.
I don't even know you're talking about anybody. I got a new co-president and a new co-president.
I have access to the Twitter account. I have the controls. It's tied to my email.
Fuck, that part is true. That part is true.
And I made the graphics.
I put up the only tweet, though.
So the final rankings as of now are Iron Man 1, number 1. Iron Man 2, number 2. The Incredible Hulk, number 3. And Thor, number 4.
It's bullshit.
We'll have to find out next week when we review.
This podcast fucking sucks.
Captain America, the First Avenger.
I'm excited for this one.
Until next time.
Have a marvelous day.